Hello and welcome to this special episode of Mission Makers, brought to you from Davos, Switzerland, during the World Economic Forum, where me and my team were really lucky to be on the ground curating some amazing spaces and discussions this year, from the future of mobility with the astronaut Nicole Stott, who has spent over 100 days in space, to curating workshops around neuroscience and primal movement at the House of Balance, where I exclusively premiered my music track Infinite Being that features Deepak Chopra. I'll be interviewing key visionaries and thought leaders from these communities, such as the Female Quotient, 100 Women at Davos, Finnish Flow, and many more over the next few weeks to share the best of our collaborative insights on implementing solutions while digging deep into our collective consciousness to take responsibility for the protection and preservation of this world. Today, I'm joined by two exceptional women leading the charge in equalizing the playing field, not only in Davos, but globally. One of them has been a special guest on this show since season one, Tessie de Nassau, who I count as a close friend in life and in business. Tessie is a globally recognized humanitarian, podcaster, TEDx speaker, and entrepreneur. As a humanitarian, one of her most impactful roles is as a global advocate for young women and adolescent girls with the United Nations. As an entrepreneur, she is the co-founder of Human Highness, a couture fashion line focused on sustainable fashion, as well as the consulting firm Finding Butterflies and the female empowerment community Vitamin W. Unsurprisingly, she's won many awards for her work, but one that stands out and truly speaks volumes about her work is the award Women of the Decade that she won for creating a better world for all. And last, but most certainly not least, she's also served time in the military. And joining Tessie is someone that we've wanted to interview on this show for a while, Dr. Anino Emua. Dr. Anino is the founder of 100 Women at Davos, a community of remarkable CEOs and founders enabling leadership growth at Davos. She has over 25 years of experience in banking, and she left Citibank to start Avandis Consulting, which is focused on complex strategy and financing challenges. She is an award-winning thought leader in the field of diversity, equity, and inclusion, winning countless awards such as 100 Women of the Future in Web3, Champion for Change by Reuters, and one of 40 Outstanding Global Women. Dr. Anino is also a member of the jury for several prestigious awards, including Cartier's Women's Initiative and Africa's Business Heroes. Unsurprisingly, Dr. Anino has also been recognized by LinkedIn as a top voice on gender equity. You should definitely follow her and Tessie on LinkedIn for some awesome insights and content. And so with that, let's begin this mammoth of an episode. Ladies, welcome to Mission Makers. It's great to have you both on the show. How are you doing today, Anino?
Hi Farah, thanks for having me on your show. Doing very well. It's been a busy few months since we last saw, actually.
Yeah, what have you been up to since Davos? Where has the world taken you?
Well, it has taken me to Africa, back home to Nigeria. It's taken me to the UK several times, within France as well. So it's been quite a busy few weeks since then. Yes. Conferences, speaking engagements, board meetings, running my business, a lot of stuff.
Nice. And how are you, Tessie? How are you? Welcome back to Mission Makers.
Well, it's nice to be back, Bestie. It's really nice to see you, and nice to see you, Anino, as well again after Davos. Yeah, no, all really good as well on my side. Everyone is well and healthy, which is the most important thing. And for the rest, 2023 has been very kind. A lot of projects. As for you, congratulations on the release of your new of your first song, actually, that you have been working on for the last 7 years. You know the feeling. I have been working on two projects now for a while, and they are now slowly coming into the materialization phase. So I'm very excited. One is children's books, and the other one is a TV show. And everything is going great, and it's fantastic to see you both so well and happy and doing well.
Thank you so much. You and I share a big passion for music. We've done a lot in that world. So yeah, it feels great when you sow a seed and finally see it blossom. And congratulations to you for your children's book and your TV show. No doubt, that the world's going to receive that really with open arms, and we'll definitely plug those links in. So Anino, you're a first timer on Mission Makers. Tell us a little bit more about 100 Women of Davos, when that was kind of started, how did that idea come about, and what that community seeks to achieve.
Thank you, Farah, for that. And it's wonderful to be with you amazing ladies. Honestly, it takes me right back. How did that start? Well, preceding the first time I went to the World Economic Forum many years ago, studied economics. And for me, obviously, the World Economic Forum is something I hear about. And at that time, you know, many years ago, I thought to myself, you mean that world leaders are gathering to discuss and make decisions about areas of the world, for example, like mine, and we're not part of this thing, right? I never imagined I would find myself in there, never. And here comes 2017, and I was at the World Economic Forum. And so this was something that I've known about for a very long time. And to be amongst, you know, world leaders, decision makers, was an absolutely fantastic experience. But I must say, at the same time, I felt a little bit out of it. That is to say, you know, walked in there and, you know, no one seemed to really look like me. Not very many women, and most certainly not very many African women. And you sort of felt, you know, you sort of felt overlooked, right? So it's not, I mean, I live in France, so it's not because one is a minority, right? But because the feeling was almost that you were being overlooked. But immediately, I got comfortable when another woman walked up to me, and there were three of us now speaking. And then I realized that this is really very often what happens to women in leadership positions, and that we take comfort and we enjoy being together in company. And in order to elevate our profile, our visibility, and our impact, because we did have a lot to contribute, right? And so even if you're not being asked to contribute, right, there are ways to contribute. And that was absolutely what made me decide to form the community, because I felt that there were other women who were experiencing the same kinds of things, and importantly, who I felt had a lot to add to all of this. And also, going to the World Economic Forum, I found that the engagement with world leaders, there was really a lot of access. They were accessible, and I was able to discuss one-on-one things that were interesting to me or I found important in terms of creating impact, to presidents of the world, leaders of the biggest businesses. And I thought to myself, we need more women to be able to do exactly the same thing. And this is not an opportunity that should be overlooked. And so I set up at the time, in fact, it was Women at WEF, because it started off from inside the World Economic Forum. And then the second year around, it was an informal community. I got a message from other women who said, look, we are in Davos, but not necessarily in the world, at the World Economic Forum. And so we grew our community outside. And this was still happening alongside. I had the opportunity to attend the forum four times. But it was clear that you had many women who were very much involved. And so what we do is we work with women to give them access and visibility. Many of the events, I'm sure you know about, business dinners, are invitation only. We also work with getting women to speak on panels. So a lot of those previously manners, you know, very often are populated with women from within our community. And also a lot of the invitation-only kinds of conference, mini conferences there. We have our women participating, but we have organizers now coming to us, asking us for women of a certain, you know, certain background to represent and be able to participate. So that's what we do. Create community, access visibility. We've always had a big event for the community, a dinner or a meeting where we all get together, and an opportunity to make even more impact.
Amazing. And how did that opportunity first arise in 2017 for you to attend the forum?
Well, I got, you know, like everyone else, you get an invitation, right? And so I did. But I know that one thing about it is people ask about that. And this is not, you know, it's rare. And I think that that is exactly why I was interested in making sure that other women who had the opportunity to attend created impact. Because it could be one invitation and one invitation only. And so to approach it without being prepared meant that you would not maximize it, right? So I think that that is really what also what drove me about helping women to maximize their impact and their time by understanding what it's about and how we could use that to basically help drive whatever, you know, their own goals were. Yeah.
Mm. Brilliant. And Tessie, you've been on the show quite a few times, but tell us a little bit more, you know, about, I mean, you run so many different things, but one community that you're making a lot of waves in is Vitamin W, which has evolved quite a lot since we last had you on the show. So Do you want to tell our audience a little bit more about, you know, that community and how that mission has evolved and expanded?
Yeah, absolutely, with pleasure. So vitamin W means vitamin women. And the community started because, so our mutual friend that introduced you to Shelley, remember? She has an amazing community with the female quotient. And she said, hey, there's that global dinner in every geographics. And would you put together a group for Switzerland? Because I moved to Switzerland. And I was like, sure. And so I put a group together, WhatsApp group, for the dinner, but it was all my friends. And that was great. And then after the dinner, I thought, oh, well, I might as well just keep the WhatsApp because now I have them all together for once. And it kind of clicked. I was like, it's so convenient to have them all in one place instead of catching up with everyone's one-to-one all the time. And so that is the first ever move. So to give credit where credit is due, that is how I started it. And then I thought, okay, this is great, but I have these clusters of women all over the world. And so I thought I'd do this WhatsApp group for all of my different clusters that I have in London, Luxembourg, Croatia, UAE, America, Spain, and so on. And dinner in Zurich. And I was sitting there with the girls. And I said, hey, you know, I have these ideas for names. What do you think? And we all agreed on vitamin W because we eat these vitamins for our physical health. But this community is something really for also our mental health. It's for our all overall health. Is it financial? Is it social? Is it economic? Whatever you need, vitamin W provides. I have seen amazing business deals happening. There's quite a lot of business transactions actually between the women. But also there's just a community where women just have each other's back. It's Chatham House rule. So women, they don't share what is outside to outside people, what is happening inside. No pictures, no information without the consent of the women that this talked about. I supervise everything that is being discussed just because there's a lot of responsibility. Some women are like heads of states, wives or royalty or heads of big corporates and here and there. And I'm known that wherever I invite people, there's only good people there, you know, to keep away from freeloaders and weirdos and people who don't mean well. And I say it like that because you just never know. And so I always need to supervise to make sure that the women have a safe space, which is really what I want vitamin W to be, that you can talk about everything, let that be private or work, and that you have a good time. They meet between each other. We have also these micro groups now where I put people together one-on-one or little cluster groups. We do little workshops, events. That's really how in the last year and a half I have grown from one small WhatsApp group of 15 women actually for dinner of a friend to now, 350 to 400 women in 7 countries. And there's a lot to come. As of every community, and Nino can probably relate to that as well, I have been managing this and it's fantastic. But now I want to really grow it and make it really nice and professional. So I'm working on the website, which is membership only. And because there's so much content and there's so many amazing women doing amazing things, to really see how I can help them support them more with really targeted global events for them to meet each other even more. Voila. So there's a lot still to come, but it's literally, in basic fundamental terms, it's a community. It's having sisters in countries where you don't have any other family. This can be your family. And that is what I want it to be. Someone you call when you need someone for all situations. And if it is just for a laugh.
That's a very supportive community. And met so many incredible women leading the charge in both of your respective communities. So talking a bit about this year, what were some of your highlights and key takeaways from Davos this year? And you know, we can start with you.
Okay, but just before we do that, you know, I'd like to say to Tessie, congratulations on the community that you are building. And, you know, very often when we hear about communities, we hear about the good bits, right? But the, for in order for a community to work, there's certain things that have to be done. And I think that is really important when you're talking about it, is managing the community. Because the reality is that sometimes you might get somebody in the community who shouldn't be in there, and you have to take steps, right? So as a community manager, there are these responsibilities. And I think it's important for people hearing this, because many people are managing communities for different reasons, right? And I do hear that people say, oh, what do I do now? I'm hesitant, right? But, you know, thank you for sharing that. It sounds small, but it's really very important, Tessie. Well done. And I love the name Vitamin W. It's fantastic. Okay.
Thank you. And there's one for Nigeria coming as well. I have been working a lot in Nigeria, and have been in contact with Anita Ibru, with Lady Maiden.
I was
on the Guardian Nigerian cover.
She's my aunt.
Oh my God. Yes, so I was on the cover of the Guardian for my work, and was there with Kola Karim. Fantastic. And with Dangote. Such a good time. I had a really good time in Nigeria. And there's that one bakery in the core center, which is just like that huge palace. I know you know what I mean. And it was delicious. it's a beautiful country you have there, really. And everyone is so nice. And yeah, I just love your couture and as well, and how women dress. It's just pure elegance. It's a beautiful country. Really nice.
Thank you. Well, I guess that before you asking, you know, what are our key takeaways, right, from Davos? I think key takeaways were not even just sector specific, but just in terms of the mood and the attitude. And I certainly found this. It had started off in May 2022, but even more so this time. And that was truly collaboration. And when I say collaboration, not just collaboration in terms of your individual projects, but collective collaboration in terms of impact for the good of the world, right? People who seem to be interested in what is happening, not just from their perspectives, their part of the world. Very difficult to bring up certain parts of the world in certain discussions, right, with central regional. But what happened with Davos is that people then realized, obviously, we had the pandemic, then we had Ukraine, and with that realization that what happens in other parts of the world can affect our well-being, and that we have a responsibility as well to support. So that was one key and important thing. The second thing as well we saw was, in terms of sector specific, was of course a lot of attention on the metaverse and Web3. The last time it was all about, you know, in terms of emerging technologies, it was about blockchain. But there was a move towards that, and I think that's really important. If you see what's happened with AI and generative AI just in the couple of months we've left Davos, right? So that was really important. And at the World Economic Forum, they have an initiative on the metaverse, which was fine. I also found, interesting enough, and some of you might have felt that, quite some interaction and more fluidity between the forum itself and what was happening outside the forum. Obviously, you have the big events like the SDG 10, the Gold House, and all of that. But you know, you had a lot more fluidity between the two, which I think is healthy and helpful. Reaching out on both sides, which I think is really helpful. Also, I think that one thing that it is that we did find were the numbers. I don't know if you sensed it, but there seemed to be a lot of people who were in Davos this time. So these are, you know, a few of the particulars.
Yeah, it's so true. I think especially because, you know, the pandemic affected quite a bit, and then, you know, May happened last year, but it was basically summer, so, you know, a lot of people this year were attending, I think, more than May. And I think everything comes down to community, right? And the more communities that get the opportunity to be there, to be present, to create their space, creates that opportunity for collaboration. Tessie, how about you? What were some of your observations from this year?
Hey, I hope you're enjoying today's show. And of course, if you are, a little review or share with your friends would be much appreciated. But I just want to take a quick pause to share some interesting news that Mission Makers has unexpectedly grown into becoming a boutique podcast agency. And for the last year and a half, we've secretly been producing content for some high impact brands, from tech unicorns in Silicon Valley to disruptive companies at Davos. So if you're thinking of starting your own show and you're looking for some help, then send us a message, because we would absolutely love to bring your story to life and help you amplify your content while really connecting on a much deeper level with your audiences. Now, let's get back to the show.
I agree with Vanino on her points, but I think it's also important to say, you know, I have been attending Davos now for, 7 years. And, you know, there's something, it's called the white badges, which is where the politician meets, who come with the helicopters and private jets and all of these things, right? Where you can discuss, and I think it's amazing as that Danino is invited to go there, because representation matters and there's not much representation. It's often white male over 60 who talk there, which is a shame. But with Davos, and that's why I keep attending, there's a very big opportunity for the normal hotel badges, or even you don't need any badges anymore, for attending these side events, such as the Swedish Lunch, which was attended this year by 1,200 individuals. And there was a waiting list of another 2,000 people. Like, it was huge, right? And we had the Female Quotient Lounge and all of these other amazing side events, which you could just sign up online and attend and meet these fantastic human beings. And, you know, meet the heads of industry as well, politicians, and, you know, who not, like, just meet everyone you would meet with the white badges, but meet them in an informal way at these gatherings and actually get to talk to them. And I think that is really where you can make a difference, because a lot of people, Davos is very criticized, specifically in Switzerland, among the people, where they say, well, why do we even do that? It's just where the rich people go with their private jets talking about climate change, then they get back in their private jets and fly off, right? It's that hypocrisy, right? And I think we need to be honest with one another that, yes, there's some of that there, but if you attend these side events, there's so much you can really do. You get to know these people also. You know, they're having a drink or they're attending some of these other side events, panels, you had the House of Balance as well, and so on. There's really great opportunities to meet market leaders, corporate leaders, government leaders, or just walking in the street, right? So I think, just to say, I'm not going to Davos because there's nothing being happening and it's just for the rich, is not true. There's some of it there that is true, but it is a minority. They are the minority. The everyday people, the people who actually do change things, they are the majority. And I like that about Davos, because I met the most amazing people that I could do business with, like the most successful people from Switzerland, from Turkey and everything, had lunch with them in a restaurant there at an event, right? And it was just, even my husband was very skeptical about Davos. He is Swiss. He said, wow, this is amazing. You know, I would have not thought that Davos is that. So there's so much, there's a lot of misconception about what Davos is and what it is when you're there. And as such, I think, you know, go and discover it for yourself and see what the value of Davos can be for you. Because I think it's very unique. As Dr. Nino said, you know, you have SDG 10, you have climate change, but you have also for economics, you have government buildings from embassies, you have the female quotient from women empowerment, you have for psychedelics, you have for AI, you have for Bitcoin. You have really for everyone something. So just find it out for yourself and connect with people. And it's really fun as well. You know, the time just flies. And yeah, I would recommend it. There's a book, it's called Davos Men as well, which is a critical analysis on Davos. And it talks about, you know, the misconceptions and the problems of the politicians or the white badges. Sorry for saying it like that, but it is still sadly a lot that. But I see in that criticism what I just said, so much opportunity. And that's why I will keep attending, because I think it's a fantastic place for people and community leaders to really come together in an informal way. And that's fantastic. So that's my key takeaways. And this year was exactly that. I met amazing people, got some new business ideas as well. Could, you know, also exchange ideas, ask people questions who were there before me, who have done so much already in the domain that I'm looking at, and just kind of like, you know, picking their brains, saying. So fantastic, fantastic location. And it's a beautiful place, you know, it's very nice.
Absolutely. Well, thank you for saying that. And, you know, I've said it as well on this podcast that there are a lot of misconceptions around a space like this. But if you are passionate about changing something, you cannot sit on the sidelines and change anything. You have to go to the heart of where things happen like this, where leaders gather, where problems are, you know, are brainstormed or problems are even created. And the same for me, the fact that you can meet some of the most interesting people in the world, some of the brightest minds, some of the most innovative entrepreneurs, and you can do that in 1 week, which would normally take you a year at several different places, is what makes the time worth investing in and going. Anino, do you have anything more to contribute to the misconceptions around Davos?
Oh, absolutely. You know, I really want to reinforce what Tessie has said, and this is so important, right? And that is their ability to engage with leaders at all levels. Now, the thing is that irrespective of your sector or what it is you're looking at, there is still one big mission, which is that of impact, just meaning making the world a better place for everybody in whichever form or fashion. And Davos is just the beginning. So that is to say that it puts, and I'm glad it actually starts in January. It's a bit difficult because by the time I come back from Davos, you know, a month has almost gone by, but it really sets the tone for the rest of the year. So a lot of the connections and the contacts, right, and things that I'm doing have come out of Davos. So Davos was only the beginning, but then there's a focus in that direction. So irrespective of what the business is, right, it is still linked to impact. And that is what is so special about Davos. There are lots of businesses, conferences you go to around a theme or idea or a sector, right? But this one is multi-sectoral, but around creative impact. And so your connections and contacts and people who you've met, right, when you're working with them, you still have that, right, as the foundation of what it is you're doing. And that is why it's so key and it's really important. And people are ready when they get there to engage at all levels. So you do get FaceTime with people and the ability to engage on whatever topic it is you're engaging on. And everybody finds their own space within this place. And just to finish on that, just very quickly, for us at 100 Women at Davos, our partnerships and our collaborations, which are not necessarily obvious, right? The few of them are obvious. Tessie would know, and you far, of course, at the Female Quotient Equality Lounge. You know, we were there, we had our speakers there, we spoke them, all of that. So we have those formal, but there are a lot of informal ones, right, that are not necessarily so visible. But the point is that as a network, we were invited, and our members were invited. So it is that interaction, collaboration, and spirit of cooperation, right, that is so key and so important. And it goes past Davos, right? We take it out into the real world after us.
Absolutely. Very, very important points you've raised there. What would you like to see more of moving forward? Tessie, we can go with you first.
I think, you know, there's one thing as well. When you go to Davos, you get a million of business cards. Make sure that you are the better person and you follow up, because you give people business cards, and that is also something you need to take into consideration, that people don't always follow through what they say, and that is fine. But when you don't know, you get frustrated because you give 100% of cards, 20% will write you back, the other 80 you can throw in the trash. That is sadly the truth. So when you talk to people, really try to get the most out of them for what you want from them or what you want your advice on. Or it's really an elevator pitch. Be ready. And yeah, exchange the cards after. But if they don't follow up, even after you have followed up with them, don't take it personal. It's just, it goes with that too. And it's also, it's something we need to change ourselves as well. So that I would like to see more post-engagement, more follow-ups, which would be really nice because there's so much energy, right? When you're in Davos, it seems like you're kind of like in a cluster, you're like in the bubble, right? Everyone is just so open-minded and you're ready and you get stuff done. And as Anina said, you know, people are really open to interact no matter who you are. Is that the chair of Roche or is that the head of Volkswagen or the Prime Minister of Luxembourg, whatever, right? There's a lot happening. But as soon as you're out of this bubble, the energy changes and you follow up and some follow back down if you did a good job with your pitch, right? If they really see the value in you, because don't forget, these people get to talk to so many people in the mall because everyone will take advantage of your advantage, right? To get to see them. So be different and make them remember you. And then if they don't follow up, don't be frustrated. It happens. And that is something I needed to learn as well. And that is fine. But I also need to make sure that I follow through. Because sometimes at the beginning as well, I was also not always very diligent with that. And then I realized that it doesn't feel right, right? These people really expect you to write back. So I started doing that. So that I want to see more, that people follow up and that people, you know, if they say they do, or they're just more honest, right? That they say, sorry, I have a lot going on and this is actually not, I'm not interested in this, or it's not in my timeline for the next year. Just, you know, we're there to talk business and change, you know, to just be a bit more authentic with themselves, because where you there's open-mindedness, and especially in that bubble, you don't want to be seen as the one that is not proactive or innovative enough or something, you know, you don't, because we are tribal people, right? Biologically, if we would get out of our tribes, we would die because they would not join, take you for the hunting, and then you would hunt alone and you would die, right? And as such, we don't want to be outside of the bubble. And as such, everyone is like, yeah, this is great. But I think we need more authenticity as well when we are open then like that, right? And even if that means not this year or not now, that, you know, if you are authentic, people will be like, oh, okay, but he was honest or she was honest. And that's nice. I appreciate that, right? So more authenticity, better follow-ups or follow-through. And yeah, I think the rest, I really like the side events. And I think what a big thing as well is accommodation. It's so expensive and it's so corrupt. Like, come on, people, right? Like some places you pay like $1,000 a night and it's a shithole. Sorry for saying it like that. It's a beephole where you barely have a mattress on the floor and you're sleeping in the garage. Like, it means nothing, right? So just, you know, and I get it. A lot of people, that is really their income for the year. So let me tell you how what we do, right? If we can't stay with friends because I refuse to pay, this is ridiculous. Then I'd rather go with my children on a holiday for that money than paying $10,000 a week, you know. And I have heard stories of NGOs saying, yeah, we want to buy that that chalet, and yeah, we can only meet you with a luggage of money in Paris, right? From other people who rent their houses, you know. So it's a bit dodgy, this whole situation. So we keep out of that. We're not part of this. We then, you know, it's only an hour from Zurich, an hour and 15. You can take the train. Trains in Zurich are fantastic. And if they are late, guys, I tell you, they are in the papers. If you are 3 minutes late with the train in Zurich, it's in the papers. That's how diligent they are. They're so good. Train service is fantastic. And hotels in Zurich, you can get from all ranges of your budget. And it's fantastic. You go for the day, you go back in the evening. Okay, you want to miss the after work or whatever, the party in the evening. Fine, you do it in Zurich. Or you might even crash somewhere with friends or people you have met. Because that as well, when you meet people, you have opportunities. They're like, oh, come, you can just crash at our place or something like that. Fine. But yeah, that would be the things I would love to see some changes. Accommodation, that is addressed a bit more, I guess, because I can't take bread when I can't give bread, right? These people, they rely on this income. And so what could we do to make this available for everyone, but also that they make their money in a more normal way, I guess? And then authenticity and follow-ups. That would be my three things. But for the rest, the side events, everything, I think it's fantastic. It's a really great experience for anyone in business and government and advocacy to come and join us. I am looking forward to see you all there next year.
Mm-hmm. Now, there's a lot there to unpack. And for sure, the energy exchange is, you know, it's overwhelming. It can be very overwhelming and exhausting, and you need time before and after to really prepare yourself and switch off, and also do the follow-ups, because if you invested all this time and money, as you've highlighted there, the accommodation costs are absolutely crazy. And I do think that, yes, the accommodation part needs to change, but there's probably reasons why it's been like that. And part of it is also supply and demand. It's a small village. There are thousands of people that come in, and there are people that are willing to pay that premium ticket unfortunately. And so, yeah, but what are the other ways we can make it more accessible is definitely something that needs to be addressed. Anino, do you have anything also to contribute in terms of what you would like to see change or more of next year?
Yes, I think it's really to add to Tessie's point, because they're quite interesting. When Tessie was talking about the follow-ups, right, and talking about, you know, when you interact with people, following up with them, and, you know, being clear on what it is, you know, you want to discuss with them. And this is so key, because sadly, I must say this, you know, we have seen people, right, who treat Davos as if it's sightseeing, right? So that is, you know, just come there and have a look and just go in without a proper value-added mission. And that is such a wasted opportunity. So I don't think you go there to prospect. When I say prospect, I don't mean for your business. You can, of course, go to prospect, but you must know what is it that you're offering, right? What is it that you're about? Because that's all people will remember. People meet so many people, right? So one thing that I'd say is, first of all, be clear about what it is you are, what it is you're offering, right? And people will always remember the magic of Davos. No matter how magical Davos is, the true value added of Davos is after Davos, right? And that can only happen if you're clear. So as Tessie says, you do the follow-ups. But if you do a follow-up and the person, you got the card, they gave it to you, but there's no clarity, right? They're not going to remember when they met you. They're not going to remember, see how you're adding value to them. And it's not going to go anywhere. So that's the thing. Be clear about what it is you're giving them. Be strategic. Yes, you have, and the fun bit is fine, but there has to be things which are clear that you're doing in Davos, the people who you're meeting and what you're having to offer them to make their own lives better, to be honest, or their businesses. You have to be offering something. So it's not all about taking. Accommodation is a big one. You know, I have no idea if perhaps the Mairie can do something about coordinating better the available accommodation, because the problem is, as you say, there's so many people and who are ready to pay. But it's not just that. It's just that once a year, that's what. So you can't put in infrastructure, a lot of infrastructure by yourself as a property owner. For the whole year, when you only didn't have people, you know, you didn't have that interest for 1 week of the year. So that means a more a cooperative approach, right, by the city or by the town council, I think. And yes, so I think really those are the things I would like to add. But just to say, just to end up, that when we mustn't forget the reason why Davos. Why Davos is there, why it happened, right? And that is why you see the strong presence of the UN. And there is a complete sync between those SDG goals, right? At any point in time, any year, you might be focusing on different ones, right? And that is the reason why we're there. And so you need to come there with whatever it is you're doing. Clear about which of the SDGs, right, that you're looking at or that are important to you and how you can contribute to your voice. There's a lot to take away from Davos, but given the challenges the world is facing and the opportunities that we have in this world, we should also come to Davos with the perspective of what do I have to offer that when I do offer it collectively can make the world change to the better place for all of us. And I think that's really very important, or I find it very important.
No, it's beautifully said, because I think a lot of people may see a place like this or an event like this and think, oh, if I could just be there, I could get X, Y, Z. And the thing is that, you know, the most powerful and the most authentic and beautiful communities come from power of giving and not this mindset of like taking. You find out over time that, you know, those types of people are energy drainers, actually. You know, because you really, it's about making each other's lives easier and better in some shape or form. And that's why, you know, complete advocate for a place like House of Balance, where it is, you know, really interesting that in a place like Davos, where it's so expensive to run an event, you know, some companies are paying $250,000 for 2 hours to do an event, that they were able to take money out of the equation and everything was based on a value exchange. And that's no easy feat. And you also see white badge holders come in, they have to take their shoes off. Everyone's equal in the space, but it's also the opportunity to actually like exchange people's ideas, not in a panel format, but in a workshop format. So, you can actually leave with something more tangible, hopefully, because we can probably hear panels, you know, many times in other places. But again, just to show that, you know, those communities can exist and really thrive. And it's like that 1 week is like, you know, the cluster, but the outreach, the engagement, the amplification afterwards is it's extraordinary. So final question that I'd love to ask you both is, what have been some of your life lessons, you know, from going to this kind of event? And Anina, we can start with you.
Oh, that's a great one. The first one is be fit. it's a week that starts, you know, when you start in the morning, you don't finish. In fact, this last time, but also the power of community. And I tell you what happened. I arrived on the Monday. We were hosting our 100 Women at Davos dinner in the evening, and one of my suitcases didn't arrive. Okay. So survival instincts. The first thing was, you know, I had put a dress into my hand luggage, so I had something, you know, I would wear. But I sent out a message to the community, and, you know, I got lots of offers, and I said, look, just come here, come and try what's in my wardrobe and all of that. So there's power of community, you know, so that was the first thing. But it also meant that, you know, all the preparation that we had planned for that afternoon didn't happen. And yet you start in the morning at 7 o'clock, and I end at usually dinner, after dinner drinks. So people go on to later, right? So we're talking about, you know, almost 18, 20 hour days sometimes, right? So be prepared for the long haul. And whilst I did say that you come in with some plan, what it is you're doing, but also leave room for those serendipitous meetings, events, happenings, right? Leave some time in your agenda for something to happen. And those magical moments absolutely do happen. The kinds of people I've met, and sometimes it requires a bit more energy. So you're in the middle of something and you say, let me just pop by here, right? And the kind of people that you might meet. And the other thing that I think, and that's just me personally, is especially when we're not corporates with big budgets and people are constantly helping you. And one thing that I don't forget to do, I try not to forget to do it afterwards, is to say thank you. Thank you to people who opened the doors, who facilitated, who allowed you to do something, who didn't charge for this. And, you know, that's another thing that, you know, I try to do, is to say all those thank yous. We had, you know, amazing partners who came on board, and, you know, people who collaborated. And I think that's, you know, a major lesson, to say thank you to those who have helped you.
There's a lot of serendipity to capture in Davos, and Tessie and my friendship is definitely, for me, an example of that. And you sort of, what you touched upon there is like, you know, it's so easy to fill your diary up with zero white space, which can also be quite exhausting and overwhelming in itself, but you need to leave some of that space available just for that magic to actually take place. And, you know, sometimes what you seek will seek you, if you allow the space and time for it to manifest. And Tessie, how about you? What have been some of these life lessons?
So, well, I agree with Anina completely. Was to leave some space. You know, we have a saying in the Catholic religion, which states that if you want to make God laugh, make plans. And I think it's just really about that, you know, to go there with an open mind. And yes, your schedule would fill up so fast when you meet people, because everyone is so open. And that is what I learned there. It's just like some years, the first years I went there by myself, with work, when I still worked for corporate. And the person I went with, she was just gone all the time because she knew everyone and I was alone. And I just started meeting people. And then I too had a schedule all of a sudden. And that is fantastic. I have not seen that anywhere else. Well, I have met you, Farah. You know, we have had the most amazing dinner on the Schatzalp, which was such a coincidence. And so meant to be, right? You're the godmother of my child. And we have been best friends since there, really. We have been supporting each other. So there is a follow-up after Davos with people that are meant to be in your life. And I think we have a beautiful testimony to this, you and me, right? And other than that, with Anina, what I would add, bring food or eat something before leaving your hotel or whatever, because there's not much food. I'm always starving when I'm in Davos. I don't know why, because you're talking to people and somehow the food, if there is food, it's gone within like like, you know, you have these cartoons where these birds come down and they just eat everything away like within 5 minutes. And it feels like it because somehow I never get anything on my plate other than some breadcrumbs, which is great when you're really hungry. But so, yeah, just make sure you have some, you have some storage in your house, flat, or wherever you stay to snack on when you come home, when you wake up in the morning, or in your backpack, or in your purse, that you have an apple or something. Because, you know, coffee you get everywhere, but food is very rare. So I learned that, to just be a bit more logistical. Also, what you wear. In Davos, no one wears heels, or very, very rarely. And, you know, it's slippery and snowy and cold. It's a different cold there. It's beautiful. So, you know, when you walk between the different events, even the main center where the white badges are, it's always long walks. Yes, there's these buses, but if you don't have a hotel badge minimum, you can't take the bus. And you walk a lot. Like as Anina said, be fit, because you will be walking a lot. It's totally worth it, but just have good shoes and keep your heels or your nice man shoes in a backpack if you want to change. So that I learned. Good learning, amazing learning, because the first year I was wearing heels and everyone knew it was my first year. Because the people who go there for a few years, they know when you wear heels, you are not there since a long time. So, and it's just really go with the flow, you know. Just let it happen to you. And as Anina said, and I agree with it 100,000,000%, we are there for the SDGs. That is what they're talking about. That's what the white badges talk about. They talk about SDGs and politics. That's what every event is about. One SDG at least. So just always keep that in the back of your mind, you know. We are all there to make this world a better place. Some are more capable, some are less. Some have more resources, some don't, but it doesn't matter. There, you really meet on a playing field, by the bar, in a restaurant, bumping into people, or whatever it is. And I think that's beautiful. So yeah, it's amazing. And I love going there because it has really changed my way on business and it has made me less aggressive towards, judging too quickly a book by its cover. It's really great to go.
Absolutely. Well, you've both said it beautifully and shared a lot, and would love to thank you both for your time. And perhaps something to just close off on is our mutual friends at Swedish Lunch, who this year told me that, you know, as Tessie pointed out, they had more than 1,000 attendees at their event, but the capacity is only 400. And Marcus shared this lesson with me that, you know, touching on the food point, they will never cater for more than 400 people, even if 2,000 people show up, because they also kind of want to people to experience, you know, how maybe hunger feels, you know, for the unfortunate people who don't get access to food. So sometimes if you find yourself hungry on the promenade, it can be a life lesson in itself, but it won't last as long as sadly other people. So it's mind over matter sometimes. Thank you ladies both so much for your time on Mission Makers.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you, Tessie. Love to see you, ladies.
Thank you, Anina.
I hope you've enjoyed this episode as much as we've enjoyed having this conversation. If you want to grab a copy of today's show notes, then head over to missionmakers.com/Davos, where you'll also find notes from all of our previous episodes. If you're interested in talking to me about future opportunities at Davos, producing podcasts, or coming down to some of my music and motorsports events, then you can reach out to me at missionmakers or at dj.n1nja on Instagram and TikTok. Thank you as ever for listening. The music played in today's episode is an exclusive preview of my upcoming track with Deepak Chopra, which was titled Infinite Being at Davos, and it will be coming out later this year. So until next time, keep it laser focused.
We call ourselves human beings, not human thinkings, or not human doings, but human beings. So now as you're listening to me, if you would just try this, as you're listening to me, be aware of that which is listening. we unless we transcend the mind. Except as a presence, period. So I has no form, and because it has no form, it has to be infinite. Anything that has form, doesn't matter. The Milky Way galaxy has a border. The universe, even now, has a border. It's 47 billion light years away from us. But anything that doesn't have a border has to be infinite, which means I is infinite.